Many small, private colleges and universities are struggling financially, and African-American schools are no exception. These historically black colleges and universities, or HBCUs as they're known, are also under scrutiny. Half of the schools sanctioned by an accrediting agency in the South this year are historically black institutions. The sanctions focus mostly on funding. Some educators complain that the evaluators are insensitive to the unique mission and financial realities of historically black schools. From Raleigh, North Carolina, Lita Hartman reports.
St. Augustine's College is a school of about 1,500 students, founded by the Episcopal Church in 1867 to educate freed slaves. Its campus of gracious old buildings is set in a blue-collar neighborhood in downtown Raleigh. Senior Sherita Williams got full scholarships to both New York University and the University of Buffalo, but chose to come here. When her friends from other schools come to visit, they understand why.
They say, well, your campus is so lively and a lot of students have pride and it's always something positive going on, and when you come for homecoming, there's just so much to do.
But despite this enthusiasm, St. Aug's, as it's locally known, was placed on probation in December by the Southern Association of Colleges and Schools, the region's accrediting agency. Though enrollment and fundraising are up, the school has a large line of credit and recently used a small part of its endowment to make up for stock market losses. James Rogers, the agency's man in charge of college accreditation, says all of that's allowed, but it could affect the school's long-term stability.
I mean, you can have a balanced budget, but if you have to borrow money to do that or draw down your endowment to do that, now you can look and say, well, they've got a balanced budget. But the question the commission has to ask is, at what cost?
5 of the 12 colleges sanctioned by the association this year are historically black. Being sanctioned is serious business. It can lead to loss of accreditation, loss of state and federal financial aid, and eventual closure. The association considers a number of factors in evaluating a school, including academic programs and faculty credentials. The bottom line is also crucial. Too crucial, argue HBCU advocates. But James Rogers says there's no way to separate money from quality.
The campus itself, the support for new equipment, computers, maintenance of the buildings, upgrading of the library and learning resources, the attraction of good and new faculty with credentials, all of those things are related to finances. And so that's the reason we think it's so terribly important for institutions to understand the significance of having a good, strong financial base.
HBCUs were initially founded because blacks were barred from most white colleges. Even today, despite desegregation, these schools outperform predominantly white schools when it comes to educating African Americans. For instance, while HBCUs enroll 15% of all black undergrads, they account for almost a third of all black graduates.
And so if these institutions did not exist, we would lose potentially a significant feeder to middle-class life, as well as American participation in the sciences and technology.
That's M. Christopher Brown, executive director of the Patterson Research Institute in Washington, D.C., which analyzes data on African Americans and education. Brown adds that HBCUs have achieved their successes while making an effort to target poor students.
Now, you join that to a history of underfunding through state and federal sources, a history of lower tuition, a history of limited institutional advancement, development, and non-existent endowments. And so you have higher education writ large having a bad cold, but HBCUs having pneumonia.
In addition, Brown says, alumni giving at HBCUs can't always bring in a lot of money. Though a higher percentage of HBCU alumni donate to their colleges than alumni at predominantly white institutions, their pockets aren't as deep. In the student activities office at St. Augustine's College, students like Sherita Williams put a human face on the numbers. Like many students here, Williams is the first in her family to go to college. She likes the small classes at St. Aug's and professors who are invested in her success. Williams says many of her classmates have been transformed by coming here.
A lot of times when students leave here, they come in one way, but they leave out prepared for the world. You can see a student that may come in, came in with a 1.2 average, but will graduate with a 3.7, graduate summa cum laude.
St. Aug's, like many historically black institutions, is relatively inexpensive to attend. Tuition, room, and board run about $15,000 a year, half the price of a predominantly white private college. There are places where the tight budget makes a difference here. There are no fancy dorms, and the athletic facilities could be updated. But Sherita Williams says other things make up for that, including the enjoyment of being at a school where most of the people look like you.
And you learn so much about yourself and your culture and who you are, and it helps motivate you. It's much different than being at a predominantly white school where they have a course. You know, at HBCUs, it's an everyday thing, and that's one of the things that I like about an HBCU.
That means students have the chance to learn without being distracted by issues of race or class, says Crystal Smith. She's the assistant director of student activities, and she says that's not coddling, it's support. Smith says that support gave her the ability and desire to succeed at the predominantly white school where she got her master's.
You know, showing, yes, our education is just as, you know, qualified as yours, and yes, I'm just as smart as you are. And, you know, just knowing that somebody believed in me, that gave me the groundwork.
But you wouldn't get this sense of success about HBCUs and why they're still relevant if you looked at the accreditation figures. From 1995 to 2000, the Southern Association of Colleges and Schools cited 20% of about 80 HBCUs. That prompted a letter of complaint from the United Negro College Fund to the U.S. Department of Education. Christopher Brown.
The reality is, I think that this administration is just too heavy-handed and does not understand its scope, or rather its limits of power.
Meanwhile, at the association, James Rogers counters that its seal of approval has to mean something.
And we want to make sure that if we put our stamp on an institution, they are truly deserving of the public's resources in terms of financial aid and the confidence that the public would have in our accredited status.
Rogers adds that all the colleges are evaluated by their peers, faculty and administrators from other schools. He says that even though 10% of the colleges that belong to the agency are HBCUs, 20% of its evaluators are African American.
And I think our commission unfairly has been painted with a certain brush that is really not fair to the process nor to what we are about.
But St. Augustine's president, Diane Suber, says not all peer evaluators have the same perspective.
You bring in a committee of representatives from Duke, Wake Forest, Temple, University of South Carolina, and have them assess my school, you're going to get a group of people looking at success from a very different vantage point than when you bring in a committee of people who have an understanding of how you generate an excellent program on limited resources.
Suber says it's hard to fundraise for a school that's on probation. The association will review St. Augustine's finances again in December. For NPR News, I'm Lita Hartman in Raleigh, North Carolina.